الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم المصطفى محمد. This is just the first day. This is how we're going to start off with the salawat. So where are we going to end up like after 2 weeks? So inshallah, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So let me just in a few minutes, just let you brothers know, brothers and sisters know what exactly the format of what we're planning on doing over here is. Inshallah, I'll speak for maybe about 5, 7, 10 minutes max, and then Sheikh will inshallah do the same, and then we'll open it up for questions if anyone has any questions. If not, then inshallah we'll head out for the group ziyarah. So yeah, that's what inshallah we're planning on doing. So before we start, I wanted to welcome all of you. Inshallah you all had a safe trip. I hope it wasn't too many hiccups. We ourselves had a few, but alhamdulillah we made it. Personally, it's always been my experience that I don't know if God plans it this way or I just don't plan enough. That it just seems like things never go too smooth when we're planning on coming for Arba'in. I don't know what it is, if God plans it that way or if I don't plan enough, but whichever it is, it happens every single time almost. But alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with this opportunity, and inshallah, we can be grateful for that. So the topic of discussion, or the panel discussion that was announced, was the philosophy of ziyarah. Understanding what the wisdom behind the ziyarah is, what does this ziyarah mean? I'm not going to try to claim I'm some expert on this philosophy of these complicated things, but inshallah I'll share a few thoughts with your brothers and sisters, and inshallah if there's any questions, we'll be at your service. So the way I personally look at ziyarah, right, first and foremost, before anything else, just realizing the fact that this is not just any other trip that, you know, I planned a vacation, I wanted to go, I don't know, you know, to the East Coast, to the West Coast, to this island, to that island. I just planned something, I bought the tickets, got the visa, and I ended up there. From what I've heard from the senior scholars and from the teachers is that when you come for ziyarah, there truly is, like, it's not just something that people say, but it truly is the case that you have been almost like hand-picked for this. You have been invited for this. Just realizing the blessing of being in this place. Now, for us to completely understand that blessing, you know, our ma'rifah, our understanding of these holy personalities needs to be complete as well, which, you know, we have varying levels. Me personally, it's very limited, but regardless, to that extent at least that we understand, right? We understand these personalities, to at least to that extent understand the blessing of this, and along with that understanding that our understanding is limited. Just the fact that we understand that our understanding is limited about these great personalities, it can kind of shed some light on what a great blessing it is for us to be here. Now, like the general principle for everything in Islam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a blessing upon us, He has some expectations. So we can't just roll into Qazvin, you know, take the bus to Samarra, go down to Najaf, you know, yeah, go to the Haram once in a while, enjoy the food, do this, do that, and go back. No, if we're here to visit these imams, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has handpicked us to come here, bestow this blessing upon us, then there are expectations. Now, some of these expectations, the way I look at it, are long-term expectations. So some of these things that I do not have, say for example, my limited understanding of the imam, that's not something that I'll achieve maybe overnight over here. So that's something that I need to work on. If I understand that that is a goal that I need to achieve, then I need to set a goal for the next time at least. And for the time being, work with whatever level of knowledge, whatever level of ma'rifah, whatever level of understanding that I have. So some of them are long-term, some of them are short-term. Short-term is something that we can actually achieve during this time. I'll, inshallah, if not today, talk about it another day. So that's one thing. Understanding that it is a blessing. Another way that I personally look at the ziyarah is if, and I know a lot of these people are doctors over here, right? But even if you're not a doctor, right? There's, if there is, say for example, a sickness, then there's two ways that one can look at this. Either you can kind of subside it, or you can actually cure it from the root, right? And I know there's a war between the, you know, the DOs and this and the MDs and the homeopathics and this and that, whatever. I don't want to get into that. But just the fact still remains that when there is an illness, you can either kind of subside it or you can cure it from the root. Same thing over here. When we come from ziyarah, there's some things that we can achieve, which is almost like just like kind of subsiding the issue, the actual core issue that we have. But some of the issues, some of the things that we can achieve through the ziyarah is actually curing that issue from the core, at the core. I want to share a few lines over here from Ziyarah Jama Kabira with your dear brothers and sisters. So it says, أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ, that we take whatever you say, right? So it's talking to the imams. So when I go to Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam or Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam, I tell them, this is what I'm saying to them. Even if I'm not reading Ziyarah Jami Kabira itself, but this is the sort of mindset that I'm going to them with. That I'm telling them that I'm not just here to just say salam, you know, hey salam, how's everything? I love you. You're my imam. Okay, I gotta go. It's dinner time or whatever. No, أَخِذٌ بِكَوْلِكُمْ. Whatever it is, whatever your aqwal are, whatever your ahadith are, whatever your sayings are, I take them and I take them seriously. أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ. عَامِلٌ بِأَمْرِكُمْ. Whatever it is that you've ordered us to do, I do that. I do that amal. عَامِلٌ بِأَمْرِكُمْ. مُسْتَجِيرٌ بِكُمْ. And I'm relying on you. I'm seeking refuge with you. زَائِرٌ لَكُمْ. And I'm doing your ziyarah. So this, in some ways you can say maybe this is, you know, the most basic level. The za'irun lakum, right? All of us at some level are considered zawar of the imam. So even if I just go, say, assalamu alayka yabna rasulillah, right? I'm a za'ir, I've gone there, I've done the ziyarah, I've done my salam. Za'irun lakum, la'idhun, a'idhun biquburikum. Right, and this is where it's talking about the actual marqad, the actual grave that I've come there to your qabr. مُسْتَشْفِعٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِكُمْ وَمُتَقَرِّبٌ بِكُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And I'm seeking through you a wasila, shifa, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِكُمْ وَمُتَقَرِّبٌ بِكُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And it is through you that I seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just a few points over here, and then inshallah I'll pass it over to Shaykh over here. When I talk about subsiding the issues, right? We said two ways you can look at it. Say for example, I'm someone who has a lot of sins. I come for the ziyarah, in this exact same ziyarah, Ziyarah Jami Kabira, it says that my ziyarah for you is like it's like something that erases my dhunub, erases my sins, right? So say for example, I come with, I don't know, put like, you know, 200 sins or 2 kilos worth of sins, however you want to quantify it. I go for the ziyarah with the right niyyah, understanding who these people are. The ziyarah is saying that your sins will be erased, will be cleared. Is this something that's dealing with the issue at the core, or is it something that's just kind of more like subsiding the issue? If I just get my sins cleared but don't know how to avoid the sins in the future, if I just try to clear my sins, but don't make an oath with the Imam of changing my ways such that these sins that I've been able to collect, that I avoid them in the future, I'm going to be in the exact same position next time I come. Whether it's a month later, whether it's a year later, whether it's 10 years later, because I've not taken care of the illness at the core, right? So there's two ways you can look at it. Now, when we talk about the great blessing that the ziyarah of these imams is, if we just deal with it or look at it from the perspective that, you know, I just want to get rid of my sins and I'm good to go till next time, that, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is doing a disservice to the concept of ziyarah, not understanding the concept of ziyarah, where I'm using it just as a tool to get some chump change rewards, what I like to call it. Right? You will get rewards, there's no doubt about it. But they're chump change rewards. It's just gonna subside the issue. It's not gonna deal with it at the core. As opposed to, if I look at this, أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ, right? Everything that they say, I take it as if they're talking to me. I take it, I realize that these are the guides from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only reason that they're saying this is so I can be guided. The only reason that they're saying this is so I can find the purpose in life. The only way, the reason that they're saying this is so I can reach that ultimate goal. So I don't leave from this world, as the Quran says, that when إِذَا أَخَذَ أَحَدُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّرْ جَعُونِي, right? When maut comes, when their death comes, they say, oh Allah, send me back so I can do the things that I didn't do this last time. And the answer of Allah is a very, very stern answer. He said, "Kalla, absolutely not. There's absolutely no way," right? So I don't want to wait till that point. Right now that I'm here for the ziyarah, I want to be أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ. I want to understand that every single word that they've said is so I don't be one of those people that when death comes upon them, they say, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِي, oh Allah, please send me back. Give me one more chance. There are no more chances. This is our chance. He's blessed us with this opportunity to come visit these holy places, visit these holy imams. This is our chance. When inshallah we wake up tomorrow morning, that is his chance. As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his morning dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyani ba'da an amatani. I praise to that Lord who's given me life after giving me death. Wa ba'athani min marqadi. And he raised me from my resting place. وَلَوْ شَاءَ جَعَلَهُ سَرْمَدًا. And if he would have wished, he would have made this resting place a permanent resting place for me. So this is a chance when I wake up, inshallah, tomorrow morning, that Allah has given me. Why wait for those chances when we know we're not going to get a second chance? Explicitly stated in the Quran. So أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ, understanding that what they're saying is for my guidance. أَخِذٌ بِقَوْلِكُمْ عَامِلٌ بِأَمْرِكُمْ. When they're telling me to do something, I need to do it so I can reach that ultimate goal, so I can be successful. And just the last point, مُسْتَشْفِعٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِكُمْ. I come to you not for you, your great personalities. I love you. May I be sacrificed for you. But at the end of the day, you're still just a means for me to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُسْتَشْفُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِكُمْ. And this one, وَمُتَقَرِّبٌ بِكُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And I seek proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah inshallah give us all the tawfiq to be able to understand the concept of ziyarah. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Mahdi over here is with us, is a very senior scholar from the Hawza. He's a teacher, he's a student there. I think he's still studying You're always studying when you're in the house, but he's a teacher. We have Sheikh Navid Charousse with us back there. He tries to act like he's not, but he's a student of the Hawza. Yeah, the light's on him, the spot's light. He's been there 7-8 years. We'll have, inshallah, Sayyid Hassan Naqvi with us. He should be here soon with us. Sheikh Usama Abdul Ghani, inshallah, will be with us. Sayyid Zamir Jafri is with us. So inshallah, if you have any questions, if you just want to talk, that's why we're all here. We're here to serve you in any way we can. Oh, Agha Mahdi Dardashtian, he's our reciter, but he's also a student of the Hawza. So he's a reciter because we request him to come recite, but he's a student of the Hawza. He's been in the Hawza, what, four or five years, somewhere around there. So if there's any questions, if there's any concerns, you just want to talk, inshallah, we're at your service. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to, inshallah, be able to understand the concept of ziyarah. May Allah, inshallah, accept the ziyarah from all of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make this a chump change reward ziyarah for us. Inshallah, make it something that's more foundational, that, inshallah, we can take back home and, inshallah, something that can change our lives, inshallah. رسالة صوت على محمد وآل محمد.
Okay, I made a mistake. Let me speak.
See?
I made a mistake. Let me speak.
I made a what?
Made a mistake.
I did.
Oh.
You know what to get. You have to.
Okay, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين So I just made a mistake accepting to speak as the second speaker. I actually asked Sayyid to speak as the second speaker, not realizing that when you're in a panel discussion and if you want to speak as the second speaker, well, what if the first speaker says everything that you wanted to say, or most of the points that you wanted to point out to? So that's a mistake. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from mistakes and errors and shortcomings, inshallah. And welcome to the holy city of Qadamiyya, or Qadamain. I'm gonna wrap up my discussion around three short points. It is really difficult to choose the points that you want to talk about under the topic of ziyarah or the philosophy of ziyarah, because you may be able to talk about it for 10 nights, maybe even 30 nights, because there's a lot to say about ziyarah, the philosophy of ziyarah. Since the minute you start thinking about ziyarah, all the way to the point that you reach to the door of the haram, you go inside, you see the zarif, you see the dome, you stand there, and when you go back and reach your home, from the minute you think about that decision till you go there and come back, there are points. But three very short points that I want to point out to. First point is that, why is it that we go for ziyarah? Our understanding, the common understanding that we have is that, okay, he's the imam and I have to go and visit him. Second, there's sawab in it. Third, we have hajat that we can, you know, get them easier when we go to do ziyarah. Or other answers you may have in your brain, in your mind, all right? So, there's a hadith that we're not quite familiar with because we don't usually hear it in the minbar. But it's a hadith from a very strong book, from a book of Shaykh al-Saduq. Shaykh al-Saduq is one of the most famous Shia scholars, who was buried where? In Iran. Shaykh al-Saduq has hadithi books that we benefit from up to today. One of the most famous hadithi books that he has is named as Faqih. right? Saduq, in one of his books, narrates a hadith, a beautiful hadith from Imam al-Ridha. In that hadith, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam says, if you want to recite the salawat, say it loud salawat. إن لكل إمام حقا على عنق أوليائه وشيعته. Every Imam has a right on the shoulders, on the neck, on the shoulders of his awliya, of his friends, his followers, and his Shia. So every Imam has a right on you. وإنما من تمام الوفاء بالعهد وحسن الأداء زيارة قبورهم. Every Imam has a right on your shoulders. And based on one account, if I remember correctly, the hadith says, إِنَّ لِكُلَّ إِمَامٍ عَهْدًا عَلَى عُنُقَ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَشِيَعَتِهِ. For every Imam, there's an ahd. There's a promise on us. And the sign of fulfilling that promise, of fulfilling that right, the sign that we've fulfilled that promise in the best way, and we've perfected that, is to go and visit that Imam. The hadith is long, I'm not going to get to the end of it. Just this part of it, the first phrase of this hadith. Imam al-Ridha is telling us, if you want to make sure that you fulfill your responsibilities, your promises towards your Imam, you have to go and visit him. And you might ask yourself a question, how can just visiting an Imam be considered as the like a sign for perfecting everything and fulfilling our promises towards the Imam? Alright? Because sometimes when we look at ourselves, when we go do ziyarah and when we go back home, we don't find it in us. We don't see it. Like, what happened? I went and did ziyarah, I went back. Is that everything? It's something like what Christians say. Christians say, Jesus died. What did they say? They say, Jesus died on the cross and his blood will pay for his sins. Is it merely a very easy physical visit that we pay and we get to redeem everything, get rid of our sins, and we're fine? And actually, we've fulfilled everything? No, that's not like that. It's not like that. Here is where I ask my second question. We know in Islam, we have different deeds that we have to perform. You have to perform prayers, you have to perform fast, you have to fast, you have to go to Hajj and perform Hajj. You have to pay charity, you have to pay Sadaqat, you have to pay Zakat, you have to pay Khums. You have to respect your parents. Different wajibat and obligations that are upon us, all right? We know there's a term, acceptance. You may pray, but there's always a question whether or not that prayer was accepted. You may fast, but there's always a question whether or not that fast was accepted. You go and do ziyarah, and that question remains there, whether or not that ziyarah was accepted. Therefore, throughout the history, the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, they always ask the Imams, whether or not their deeds were accepted. Whenever they went to the Hajj, different people approached the Imam. How can I find out whether or not my Hajj was accepted? And the Imam answered them. How can I find out whether or not my fasts were accepted? Imam answered. How can I find out whether or not my ziyarah was accepted? Imam says, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. And this time, this hadith is about the eighth Imam, the Imam that we narrated the first hadith from. Imam al-Sadiq says, I will have a son who will be killed in twos. Whoever visits him will be rewarded with paradise, with only one condition. What is that condition, O Imam? What can I do to be rewarded with paradise? Isn't that everything we're looking for in this world? a perfection that can lead us to paradise, to God's paradise, where I can live a happy life without pain, where I can easily have access to the source of knowledge, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you want to know, it's there. Whatever you want to have, it's there for you. You want to eat something, you look at a bird, you want to eat it, immediately it comes down and turns to a very delicious meal, it comes in front of you. You desired me? Here I am, I'm yours. You want to know about something, it comes to you. We're looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise, and some of us are trying to make this world paradise for ourselves. That's why people go and make those fancy houses. That's why they go next to the shore of different oceans and seas and make those beautiful, you know, villas and different, like, you know, go to the jungle and woods and do whatever they do. They spend thousands of dollars to go to different parts of the world for different, you know, beautiful vacations. Because they're trying to make this world a paradise for themselves, which is impossible. Which is impossible. It's funny, one of my friends was showing me a picture on Instagram. It was a beautiful picture from a beautiful lake and trees around it and, like, you know, some sands here and there, white sand. And he was asking me, he was telling me, like, now how can I explain paradise for this guy who sees this? The guy who goes there. No matter how you imagine paradise, it's nicer, it's more beautiful than that. Right? And I could say, we with our limited, you know, intellect, we can't even understand what paradise looks like. And I can go on and explain, but our time is short and limited. So, you will be rewarded with paradise if you go and visit my son, Imam al-Ridha, in Tus, the city that we call Mashhad today. I think we need to, like, turn that speaker, like, a little. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So there's only one condition if you want to achieve that reward. And there is a wise Shia in that majlis. Because sometimes we hear things, but we don't, you know, rip it apart and try to, like, find out what it really means. Right? The condition is this: knowing his right, whoever visits my son, مَنْ زَارَهُ عَارَفًا بِحَقِّهِ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The condition is to know his right. Alright, that's it. Maybe if we were there, we would have said, alright, I'm going to try to know his right. I'm going to try to understand what his right is, and I'm going to try to do it, whatever it is. But there's a wise Shia over there. He says, وَمَا عَرْفَانُ حَقِّهِ. And what is it to know his right? What are his rights? Can you define it for me? Imam says, Imam al-Sadiq, our sixth Imam, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. He says, it is to know that he is al-Imam al-Muftarad al-Ta'a. He is an Imam that you have to follow. And second, that he is killed, أَنَّهُ قُتَلَ مَظْلُومًا شَهِيدًا. He was martyred when he was oppressed. All right, now we have to explain a little bit about the history of Imam al-Ridha. When Imam al-Ridha was martyred, Ma'mun martyred Imam al-Ridha in a way that even the close Shias of the Imam doubted whether or not Ma'mun poisoned the Imam, or it was just a natural death. Because Ma'mun brought the Imam from Medina to Tus, he made him his successor, and he respected him. A lot of people thought Imam is really working with him. He respected the Imam, all right? Historians say, when Ma'mun killed Imam, when he poisoned the Imam, when he martyred the Imam, he cried on the body of the Imam for about 7 days. To the extent that even those people who knew that he's poisoned the Imam, they doubted it. Did he really kill the imam? How is he crying? That's why hadith says, if you see someone crying a lot, that could be a sign of a strong iman or nifaq, hypocrisy. Don't fall for whoever cries in front of you. Ma'mun cried a lot on the body of the imam to the extent that a lot of people thought that maybe he really was an ally for the Shia. He really wanted to give the government. And he said it, this is your right, it's not my right, it doesn't belong to my family, it's yours. So, long story short, Imam al-Sadiq at that time, about 100 years before, is saying, if you want to know the right of your imam, you have to know that he's someone that you have to follow. And second, you have to know whatever is going on at the time of your imam. You have to know his enemies. Yes, you have to know his friends. You have to know the tricks and plans and plots of his enemies. And you have to know everything about his friends. Brothers and sisters, if we visit an imam in this way, we can hope for our ziyarah to be accepted. Otherwise, just going there and coming out, it's not going to do it for us. And all the good points that the dear Sayyid, our dear Sayyid, you know, spoke about. But what we need to focus on today is that based on what the imam says, if your ziyarah going to be accepted, it needs these conditions. Now, we go to the first question. Why are we here? To fulfill our promise, to show that we have fulfilled our promises to imam. How? By doing ziyarah in this way. We could have taken an Irfani approach to the ziyarah. A ziyarah which is a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exclusive path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the path of the Ahlul Bayt, which we can talk about for nights. This is an Irfani approach to it. That based on Ziyarah Jama' al-Kabira that dear Sayyid referred to, hadith says in Ziyarah Jama' al-Kabira, man wahadahu qabla minkum. Whoever believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and higher than that, whoever attained the level of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maqam al-tawheed, achieved it through you guys. This is an funny approach. But we don't need to go that far. What we need to know is this. If you want your ziyarah to be accepted, to fulfill your promise towards your imam, you have to know his right. For knowing his right, you have to know that you have to follow him, the imam of your time, and you have to know whatever is going on at his time, whatever is related to him, his friends, his enemies. And today, we have to know the friends and the enemies of our imam. So that's, if someone is speaking in front of us, we can tell whether or not he's a friend of the imam or he's an enemy of the imam. When we read news on the media, we should be able to tell whether or not these are the enemies or the friends. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to visit the imams, all of them, in a way that our ziyarats are accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to hear the sound of the imam, the voice of the imam when we go there, when he returns our salam, inshallah. And some people, brothers and sisters, they're capable of hearing imam's voice. Ayatollah Khushwaqt, late Ayatollah Khushwaqt, dear Sayyid knows him. He was one of the Irfan teachers, one of the Akhlaq teachers of Qom. One of the ulama says, I asked him, dear teacher, what ziyarah do you recite when you go to the haram? And listen carefully, this is his answer. This is the way he does ziyarah after years of worshipping, years of piety and taqwa, so it's not us. He says, I don't recite anything now. So what do you do when you go to the haram? Because you know, we usually take a book, we read the ziyarah, you know, the hadith that we've received from the Ahlul Bayt. He says, I don't recite anything. I just stand in front of the zarih and I talk to the imam and he talks to me. Hadith says, when we say salam, you return my salam, but I'm not able to hear your salam. Bima kasabat aydina, because of whatever we've done. with our own will and decisions. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to hear Imam's voice and attend that maqam. With the barakah of salawat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Oh, chidas to me, family. Chidas to me, family. Q&A?
We're trying to do a group ziyara, and the haram closes at 12. So if there's any questions, please go ahead. We'll try to wrap this up in 5-10 minutes, and then shall light up.
I hear we're good. We're good.
Are you guys just shy because it's the first day?
Ah, yeah, that's what it is.
I know you're shy, right? Nothing? Okay, let's have a salah, please. Yes. Yeah, this one will see. While he wants here. This one.
You don't know how to, like, months. And do your jhana.
Enough. So, unfortunately, we didn't talk about how to perform ziyarah. Right? That's one of the things that we have to talk about. Because a lot of us don't know how to perform ziyarah. Dua and ziyarat is. You see, Qur'an is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has come down to us. Alright? Ziyarah and dua. Especially those that were received from the Ahlul Bayt. These are the ziyarat that you read when you go there. This is a Qur'an that goes up. The words of the Ahlul Bayt, they have received it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that source of knowledge. It's Qur'an as-sa'id. A Qur'an that goes up. There's a Qur'an that comes down, and there's a Qur'an that goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yes, we have to read it. We definitely have to read it, but we have to focus on the meanings of the ziyarah. Not just like following some lines or assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. We have to read it, but more important than reading it is thinking about it, is contemplating about it, all right? So, if you go to the haram 2 or 3 times a day, try to spare your time so that you can read it or read parts of it, and then have your own corner in the haram, in a quiet place where you can sit down, think, and talk to the Imam with your mother language, however you're more comfortable. Right? In that way, you get to create a bond between yourself and the Imam. Right? We are here to create a bond and seal it with the love of the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah, with piety, inshallah. So that when we go back home, we can defend our Imam, we can defend ourselves and our communities. And that can be achieved through those talkings that you have one-on-one with the Imam. So let's say, when you go there, try to read the ziyarah, alright? Don't go for the long ziyarahs that they've, like, from the beginning, alright? Whatever ziyarah that, you know, that makes you feel better, alright? And maybe when you look at the translation, there are parts where you feel like, alright, this is it, I like this line. Try to connect yourself with that line, with that part, whatever it says, alright? And go on and carry on. Whenever you felt like something or a part of this ziyarah, you know, made my heart shake, alright? And it brought tears to my eyes. Hold on to that and speak to the Imam. You know how to speak to the Imam, right? We all know it, right? So deep down, hold on to your own exclusive method that you have for yourself, I have for myself, and he has for himself, right? And then talk to the Imam with that method. But try to include the ziyarah in your inshallah ziyarah time as well. Is this short or still
watching? Alright, I don't think we have any more questions.
The faces that I see are tired enough to go to the ziyarah. Alright? Okay.
So, inshallah, what we'll do is Sheikh Mehdi over here is just going to give a small introduction for the ziyarah and his sitting in this imam and some part of the inshallah. So just a few minutes and inshallah we'll end up.
This one? Both of them. I don't know if it is.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وصلى الله على أهل بيته. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. So inshallah we'll be making the group ziyarat very soon. We're just waiting for Brother Mahdi to come down, our reciter inshallah, to help elevate us. He's here. So just before that, I wanted to share something that helped me understand ziyarat a little bit better. And obviously, if I want to know a concept, if I want to understand the concept, the first thing I want to do is I want to explore the word that represents that concept. The word being used to help me draw in my mind a picture of what that concept is trying to say. The word ziyara comes from the root zaur. Za-waw-ra. A simple definition would be me visiting someone else. So if I visit my dear uncle over here, this would be a ziyara. But that's a basic definition. And obviously, as Shia, we're not trying to be basic people. Ayatollah Javadi Amali helps us understand the concept a little bit better. He says what? He says that ziyara is a transition, is a traversing from one level to the next level. What could that mean when it comes to the imam? The imam has a physical representation, but he also has a spiritual representation. Just like each one of us, when we're recommended to do ziyara of the fellow believer, we have to have that physical visitation, but the ziyara is incomplete if that spiritual visitation does not occur. How do we know this? Well, in the Quran there are several ayahs that help us understand what it means to be a real person, an elevated person. فَضَّلَ اللَّهَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ. That's one ayah. That those who struggle in Allah's path, they're elevated. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So piety. Piety is not a physical trait, it's a spiritual trait. So here in these ayahs and other ayahs, Allah is helping us understand that yes, we have a physical existence, but we also have a spiritual existence. And so the real za'ir, those who are the real zawar, they make that physical visitation, which we're about to do right now. We're visiting the shrine. But in addition to that, we transition to the spiritual. How can that happen? Transitioning to a level other than our own would require some degree of correlation. That means that I have to bring myself within the presence of the imam spiritually, which means what? Which means that I have to try to emulate the imam in my spirituality. One way I can do that is what? To see what the imam has said himself. Imam Musa al-Kadhim, we're going to visit him right now. When he was in jail, one of the officers
in charge of overseeing and monitoring him was Sindhi ibn Shahak. So Sindhi was an evil man. He was charged with poisoning the Imam. The Imam knew of this. Sindhi, of course, was worried about his reputation. So what did he do? He came to the Imam, he said that it's possible that you may die in prison. If you want, I have a very nice and expensive cloth. I can gift it to you and you can use that as your kafan. The Imam responded to Sindhi in this way. He says that, Inna ahlu baytin. We are the Ahlul Bayt. Hajju saruratina wa muhuru nisa'ina wa akfanuna min tahurin. Says that we're the Ahlul Bayt. We go to Hajj and we get married and we purchase our kafan from a pure source. What's the message I can drive home from this? The message I can drive home from this is that Islam is not a means-based religion. It's an ends-based religion. I'm sorry, it is not an ends-based religion. It's a means-based religion. How I get there is important. When Allah in the Quran says regarding shaitan, He says that you will do this to some Bani Adam. This is how you will trick them. You will soothe them with your voice. You will use different types of ornaments, different types of methods to lure them to your path. And then He says this, وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. They will be your partners in your wealth and your children. So partners in wealth, we can understand, right? If I gain some wealth through an improper means, shaitan becomes my partner. Why? Because the physical action is from me, but the idea is evil. It comes from shaitan, so he's my partner. How does the other one work? وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. That he becomes your partner in your children. How does that happen? That this child now has two fathers, for example. One would be me, and the other would be shaitan. One example is what the Imam said. The mahr, the way we get married, the method through which we choose to get married, if that is through an impure way, then the product of that marriage, the ownership is not me 100%. 50% is me, the other 50% is from shaitan, because the idea is evil. Allowing ourselves to realize these truths and bring them to practice, that's what makes someone a real za'ir. The physical visitation is only half of it. The spiritual visitation is the thing that completes this ziyarah. And so inshallah we hope, sorry my time was limited, there was other things I wanted to mention, but inshallah we hope that this visitation is not just a physical visitation, it's also a spiritual visitation. So we ask our dear brother Mahdi to come and recite for us inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So whoever wants to join us, inshallah, we're going to be the